Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Houston, Texas. It's one of the scenes of one of the biggest upsets in mixed martial arts history. Back in 2007, fans witnessed Matt Serra dethrone then reigning welterweight champion George St. Pierre. My name is Jose Youngs. This is Alex Savas. We're standing outside the Toyota Center here in Houston, Texas. The fights are just hours away, Alex. Now, we have two major title fights headlining this card, but not just title fights. Two title fights with massive favorites defending their championships. We're going to start in the main event.
Yep.
Reigning light heavyweight champion John Bones Jones, who many consider one of, if not the greatest fighters in the history of combat sports, puts his 205-pound title on the line against the undefeated Dominic Reyes. So I'll start with this. Does Dominic Reyes have what it takes to join Matt Serra in fighters dethroning the greatest fighters of all time inside this building?
Present moment, it could happen. Yeah. If anybody's losing their title tonight, we've said it before, it could be John Jones. You know, Dominic Reyes is no joke, and John Jones has said that. He's nobody to mess around with. He's taking him very seriously. So, yeah, it could happen.
Now, John Jones does have a history of handing these fighters their first professional loss. Someone like Ryan Bader, who he defeated before he got the title shot against Shogun Hua. He famously handed Daniel Cormier his first professional loss, too. So John Jones has made it known. He has a habit. He likes taking that O away from fighters. So is it just a formality at this point, though? Yes, Dominic Reyes does have a chance, but is it factual that Dominic Reyes is arguably, as many people say, the biggest test John Jones has had since his rivalry with Daniel Cormier?
Yes, that's a fair statement, I would say, at least right now, yeah.
Now, looking at Dominic Reyes, John Jones says he just has a left hand, but what does that even mean? In my mind, yeah, you just have a left hand, but you're still knocking people out. It's like saying, sorry, you only get rear naked chokes. Sorry, Ronda Rousey only gets arm bars. Like, Dominic Reyes clearly has a left hand. In my mind, this is really the first true southpaw that John Jones has fought in a while. He struggled against Ovince St. Preux. That may or may not have been because it was a last-minute opponent. He was really into powerlifting then. He also struggled a little bit against Lyoto Machida in that first round when he got clipped. Is it that clear cut and dry? Is that left hand really John Jones' kryptonite inside the octagon?
No, you don't make it this far to this level with just a left hand. If somebody walks into the octagon with just a left hand, I'm pretty sure we're all going to learn how to defend ourselves from that left hand. So, no, that's not how this works.
Now, another side story. I think you might have heard this. If not, maybe I'll inform you. But Dominic Reyes is an athlete. according to Dominic Reyes, he's the best athlete that John Jones has ever fought, which that's an argument unto itself. We've never seen him go five rounds. We've seen him in main events against Chris Weidman. That lasted one round. We've seen him go three rounds. We've seen him get the fast stops, but we've never seen him go 25 straight minutes inside the octagon. John Jones has not only done that once or twice, he's done it a lot. He did it against Thiago Santos. He did it against Anthony Smith. He's done it against Daniel Cormier and Alexander Gustafsson. These aren't just five-round fight night fights. These are five-round headlining pay-per-view title fights against some of the best in the world.
Right.
Does Dominic Reyes, have you seen anything from him to prove he can't go 25 minutes?
I don't see why not. I mean, these are professionals, and if you're going to go up against the best, I'd have to imagine that you've done the training and the footwork to get yourself where you're at.
Now, Dominic Reyes has already said that when he's guaranteeing John Jones will get the immediate rematch. So I'll put you on the spot right now. Will we see Ann New, or does John Jones add another notch on his list of victims?
I got to give it to John Jones tonight. But if Dominic Reyes does pull it off, I am fairly certain the UFC gives John Jones an immediate rematch to see him back up there.
I don't think there's really an argument against either of those statements. I do favor John. John Jones is rightfully the favorite. Yes, this might be the biggest test he's had since Daniel Cormier. But I, too, am picking John Jones by a decision. John Jones, I think, has one of the best killer instincts I've ever seen. Clearly one of the best fight IQs I've ever seen. But he doesn't really melt people. He doesn't go out there and just put you away. But John Jones has fought guys like that. He might be fighting someone like Dominic Dominic Reyes right now. But yeah, I'm picking John Jones. Five-round decision. Not a boring five-round decision, but nonetheless, I am picking John Jones to retain. We will not be seeing another major upset here inside, at least in the main event. But if Dominic Reyes does do the impossible and adds his name to the list of major underdogs dethroning these dominant champions, how does he do it?
I think it's the same way. I think it's still probably a controversial decision. I think what happens when you have a really dominant fighter like John Jones, whenever somebody ends up actually tagging them, people tend to see it as more of a feat, you know, like, sure. Ooh, he tagged him, John Jones is hurt, you know, like kind of that thing. Sometimes that the damage that the underdog does is perceived to be greater than the other way around.
No, I've been on record a few times saying if John Jones is going to lose inevitably, it's going to be A, he gets hurt in the fight and just can't survive and his body just doesn't last and his opponent is able to take advantage of that, or he gets caught early, which Dominic Reyes has proven to do. I don't think that'll happen today, but if Dominic Reyes does what he says he can do, and he says it like, I don't know if you heard this too, he was an All-American football player. if he can read footwork like he said, he can read angles, and his analytical IT background can really calculate these movements that John Jones is making like he says he can, and can catch John Jones early, that could very well happen. So it's either going to end early for John Jones, or it's either John Jones' body just isn't going to last. So, but again, I don't think either of those situations happen. John Jones hasn't really, outside of his toe ripping in half in the first round, which he still won, by the way. I don't think John Jones loses his belt in this one. But nonetheless, we're going to drop back down to the co-main event.
Yep.
Valentina Shevchenko puts her women's flyweight title on the line against number one contender Callum Chookagian. Now, speaking of dominant champions, Valentina Shevchenko, who may be considered the third best female fighters in the world, not counting Chris Cyborg, of course, but if we're only counting the UFC, it's pretty much 1A, 1B in my mind. Yes, Amanda Nunes does have two wins over Valentina Shevchenko. The first one was three rounds. The second one, a lot of people believe Valentina actually won. She now drops down to flyweight and has not only looked dominant, but has the gap between her and the rest of the competition is so vast. In my mind, we're really looking at one of possibly the most dominant champions we'll see in a long time.
I agree. The difference, and we talked about this, the difference in any division between the champion and the number one contender is definitely the greatest in the women's flyweight division. There's no question about that, so.
But standing opposite her is Callum Chookagian, who is, I don't think there's any argument, deserves this fight. She's earned it more than a few times. Not putting people away. She's winning a lot of decisions. She's beating the Joanne Calderwoods of the world. She's beating the Andrew Lees of the world. But she's not going out there and decapitating people like Valentina Shevchenko, like wrapping her shin around Jessica Eye and then sending her into the netherworld. Like, no, she's not doing that. She's winning. There's not really argument that she's winning. She does deserve this, but what skill set can she possibly bring in to challenge Valentina Shevchenko, an opponent who not only has looked dominant, hasn't really looked in trouble since making the drop to 125 pounds?
You know, Catelyn likes to say that her height's going to be the huge advantage, and her ground game is better. She says her stand-up is better as well. It may be her confidence that takes it over tonight. Maybe she might be the one to get over the mental hoop that is fighting Valentina Shevchenko. I know I wouldn't want to do it. She's an intimidating person. So if Callan can get over that, that could be all it takes.
Now, a lot of people, like the John Jones-Dominic Reyes fight, like a lot of people just considered it's a formality that John Jones wins. That would be an understatement.
Yeah.
Talking about this next fight, I'm looking through social media, our YouTube comments, and people are saying dead woman walking, like, oh, Valentina's just fighting a corpse. Like, just give her the belt already. Like, I don't think it's that clear cut and dry. Callum Chookagian is a very impressive fighter. Yes, she's lost. Yep. She's not looked dominant as Valentina has, but she's one of these fighters that really, she sucks her opponents into her world and makes them look bad, which is a skill set, in my mind, is a skill set nonetheless. Like, yeah, she may not be putting you away, hurting you, but the fact that she's making you fight in a way that you've never fought before, that she's basically leading the dance, is very impressive to me.
Yeah, and that could be what, you know, Shevchenko hasn't faced yet. So, I mean, good luck to Callan tonight. I'm not rooting against her, not rooting for her. I'm excited to see that one.
So, put you on the spot. Will we see Ann New or will we see Ann Still on Saturday night? Will Callan Chookagian be the one to figure the puzzle out of this boogie woman at 125 pounds?
No. I don't see it right
going
now. At this
there,
point
huh?
in time, no. Maybe in the future, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Valentina wins. How she wins, we'll get to in a second. But I think I said at the beginning, Valentina, we could very well be seeing one of the next great fighters. And I think really the only woman right now that can really challenge her would be Amanda Nunes if they ever do that trilogy fight. But I don't see many people at 125 pounds right now. Like, of course, there's fighters out there that could pose problems, very high-level grapplers, but not in the foreseeable future. But I'll present it to you this way. What kind of fight are you expecting? Will this be a Liz Carmouche-Valentina fight where it was basically them shadow boxing in front of each other for 25 minutes? Or will we see one of those flash knockouts in Valentina? Because watching the tape on these two, they are very much counter fighters. They wait for their opponents to make a mistake.
Yep.
And then they capitalize. Valentina saw a mistake from Jessica Ai. And all of a sudden, just I had a baseball bat cracking her in the skull.
Yep.
Didn't really find that opening against Liz Carmouche, and we saw what happened, as our cameraman Casey Lydon said. Not many highlights in that fight. So what kind of fight are you expecting between these two women?
If all goes as planned and both fighters stick to their game plan, I think that this goes 5 rounds. Granted, both are human. Both can make mistakes, contrary to what people think about Shevchenko.
Sure.
We're all
the
human.
The female James Bond, as she calls herself.
She is human. It could happen if somebody makes a mistake. I think that goes a different way. But if all goes as planned, I think this goes the distance.
I agree with you. If it does go to decision, that's the only way I think Kalinka Kagan will win. I don't see her finishing Valentina Shevchenko at all. If this does end inside 5, it's Valentina's fight for sure. But again, I'm going to think 25-round decision, especially considering these two are point fighters. Or not point fighters, I want to say counter fighters.
Sure.
Or they wait for an opening from their opponent. But there are other fights outside of the top two, which we are both in agreement. We will see both champions successfully defend their belts.
Yep.
Is there any other fight on this card? Maybe not. It may not be the most stacked card that we've been accustomed to the last few pay-per-views, but nonetheless, there are a few fun fights, and are there any that really stand out in your mind?
Well, we got to give a shout-out to H-Town, Derek Lewis, fighting Ilir Latifi, first time move up to heavyweight, you know, pat number 12 ranked, light heavyweight.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see this. Derek Lewis is a fan favorite. Everybody loves to see
that
what he's going to do.
That would be an understatement.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to the other flyweight fight on this card. Andrea Lee is going up against Lauren Murphy in a high-level fight between two top 10 flyweights in the world. Andrea Lee is looking to get back into the win column off of her loss to Joanne Calderwood in Abu Dhabi, and Lauren Murphy has looked very impressive since making the drop down from 135 to 125.
Sure.
Lauren Murphy has said this is really a fight that gets her excited. Outside of the ranking, this fight gets her blood going. It's not a grappler versus striker cut and dry fight as fans are claiming. But nonetheless, I can't decide between this fight. I thought for sure this fight was a rematch. I couldn't believe they never fought before. Both women considered this fight not a long time coming, but it makes sense to them. They're both very excited. I do favor Andrea Lee. She's looked very impressive, but I say that with very little confidence. I don't know about yourself.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, no, I see it the same way.
Now, for Derek Lewis, though, Derek Lewis did tell us he expects a controversial hometown decision. He said Texas Commission knows what's up, but I don't think that's happening. I think Derek Lewis puts away Ilir Latifi inside the first round, and this place is going to go off its hinges when that happens. There are a few other fights on this card. We got Dan Ige versus Mirtad Bektic, which a lot of fans are circling as a possible fight of the night, which Dan Ige said is an insult to him, because you think I'm going to let him look good enough for a fight of the night? And of course, we have one of your favorite fighters, Juan Adams. Gave us a little lecture on pedicures and skincare at Media Day. He's going up against Justin Taffa, who said the worst is behind him after losing in front of a sold-out Melbourne Stadium. But any of those fights really get you going leading into these two title fights?
I just want to see Juan Adams pull it off. I think he's got a lot to lose tonight. They both do, but Juan Adams is just, you know, he's the kind of guy that you want to show up and see a Media Day. He's smiling. He loves to talk to people. He's really doing what he loves. This is his dream job. And I don't want to see him go anywhere.
This is his first time under Greg Jackson for a fight. He says he's watching tape for the first time. He's correcting his mistakes, as he agrees with Aaron Pico's assessment that Greg Jackson is really, quote unquote, helping him minimize risk inside the octagon. But it might not be the most stacked card. Fortis MMA has a few fighters. They've been one of the hot gyms lately. Alex Morono, our cameraman, one of our cameramen's fellow metalheads, is fighting. we got Miles Johns, undefeated fighter. Chaos Williams is stepping on a short nose to fight Alex Morono. So just a lot of not a lot of barn burns, but a lot of interesting side stories nonetheless. But anything else you want to say on this card before we wrap it up?
No.
There you have it, guys.
It's getting hot out here.
It's getting hot out here. Fans are lining up. People want to take pictures in front of the sign, so we're going to wrap it up. I'm Jose. That's Alex. You can catch all our videos on Fight Night coming up soon.